what I mean by that. It might not be a really good decision, but nonetheless, it is a decision. That's my lesson tonight, is how do we, as Christians, as people, how do we make wise decisions? And here was my dilemma. So this happened, and I'll tell you just a short synopsis of how it happened. This happened. Of course, every time that something like this happens, you do have a conversation with yourself. Am I right? You have a conversation. It starts off with a relegation of the fact that you are an idiot, and then it moves to an understanding that you are really extremely lucky. And then there's a little bit of anger in there, and then there's a little frustration, but it should lead you to a place where you ask yourself, how did I do that? I wouldn't do this on purpose. And yet, I did it. How did I do that? What this is a table saw injury. I know, you always get that when you say that. That's why I like to say it, because everybody, ooh, it's a... But I still have all of these. It's not a table saw injury as you would think it was. It's an almost table saw injury as you think it would be. What happened was I was working at my table saw, and I was doing what's called resawing. And it is taking a chunk of board and cutting it down the center to make two pieces, bookends, if you will. Now, normally, that's probably something that should be done on a bandsaw, although you can do it on a table saw. I don't have a bandsaw presently, so I did it on my table saw. And as I'm pushing it through my extended blade that was about almost 4 inches above the table, and I have about an inch to work with, and as I'm pushing it through, suddenly it dawned on me about 2 inches from the end, this is not a good idea. I know this. I know better. I know what can happen. I know lots of things that can happen. And what I do? I kept doing it. That's that relegation to the fact that you're an idiot. That's where that comes in. I kept doing it. And sure enough, I paid the price. I didn't pay the ultimate price, but I paid the price. Only what happened is what's called a kickback on the table saw. It threw the board that I was working with back so hard that it fractured the tip of my finger and it pretty much split it like a grape, which required 5 stitches total, 3 in the meaty part, and 2 in the nail bed. Again, it could have been much worse. The point is not to gross you out, although I'm sure it did for some. The point is how did I get to that decision? And why, if I knew that it was not the right thing to do, did I continue down that road? Why would I do that? I'm a grown man. I have a mortgage. I have a professional career. I'm married and have 4 children and drive a car. And yet I still made that kind of a decision. Let's explore that. So what I wanted to do was to really analyze that to a certain extent. And then it dawned on me, this is not unlike anything that I would do as a Christian. As a Christian who is faced with an issue, a problem, a circumstance, a situation where I have to make a decision. So I took questions that I had for myself with regard to this particular injury, and I reformulated them. So you'll see the questions that I initially asked myself, but I'm putting more biblical principle into those questions, and I have 10 of them. I have 10 principles that I want to share with you. The first principle is I need to understand the principles that will inform my decision. Again, think of this in context as far as how I did this. Now, when I add into that, this is where I will add, I won't do this every time, but just to kind of gently get you into the mode that I'm in, what biblical principles should inform my decision? What should they be? What biblical principles should I consider? Here they are. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Principle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. We skip a little bit into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, biblical principles to consider. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Proverbs 27 and verse 2. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. And finally, in Philippians 4 and verse 8, again, principles for us to consider, or principles to consider when working with wood and table saws. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Again, what principles, what biblical principles, and some considerations to think about when you're making a decision. What does the Bible have to say about this decision? You'll notice that the Bible has nothing to say about sticking your hand where it shouldn't go, right? If it does, then I should have read that, but it doesn't. So I had to figure out what principle I needed to use to not ever let this happen again. Not every situation we get to is going to be dealt with biblically. We can't find everything that we do specifically in God's Word. Generally, however, we absolutely can. Who can help me better understand what God's Word says about this decision? Make sure that you are not the only one who holds your interpretation. If it's only me and nobody else ever, anywhere, has the same interpretation that I do, I should probably think about that a little bit and talk a little bit more. Point number two. Do I have all the facts in my decision making? Do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18 and 13, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Proverbs 18 and 17, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes in and examines him. We've heard this before. Some considerations. Ask a lot of questions. Do you ask a lot of questions when you're making a decision that may compromise you? Do you do that? Did I do that? Point number three. Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? Proverbs 19, verse 2. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. Proverbs 21 and 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Considerations. Beware of the once-in-a-lifetime deal and lure of the instant gratification. How often do we succumb to that? I really wanted to get that board cut so I could start sanding and staining. I really did. I wanted it like now. Don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. Sometimes that happens to us. And when in doubt, you know what? Just let it go. Leave it out. Sometimes we really stay where we really shouldn't stay. When we're doubting that, we just need to leave it alone and leave it out. Point number four. What possible motives are driving my decision? Do you think about motives in your decisions that you make? Proverbs 16 and verse 2, all the ways of man are clean in his own sight, But the Lord weighs the motives. Proverbs 20 and 9. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? Some considerations for us. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. We're not perfect. Know that. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. Honestly assess your motives, both good and bad. Give them an honest assessment. Give others permission to speak in your life. If you close yourself off, in this case, if we close ourselves off to our brothers and sisters, what is that going to do for us? Not much. We will be missing out on a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Remember the biblical principles that we must consider. Point number five. How should past experience inform my decision? Again, just a gentle reminder. How should past experience inform my decisions? Proverbs 26 and verse 11. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Proverbs 17 and 10. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Considerations. Look for the patterns of behavior. What behaviors do you trigger on when you're about ready to make a decision, either good or bad? But do you trigger on those patterns? Point number six. What is the collective counsel of my community? In other words, what's the understanding of those whom I know and am close to? Proverbs 11 and 14. Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 18 and verse 1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire, and he who quarrels against all sound wisdom. Proverbs 18 and 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Again, considerations for us with this point. Avoid having many separate conversations. And what I mean by that is, I have a conversation with this person. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, but I don't like what he's saying. I'm going to go over here and have a conversation with this person. Ooh, that sounds a little bit better, but there's still something else that I'm looking for, if you follow what I'm saying. Recognize the difference between selling and sharing. If you are wanting somebody to sell you something, your mind and your heart is going to be open, and sometimes to a lot of things that you don't want it to. What's that difference between somebody selling you and somebody sharing with you? And how does your heart interpret that? Point number seven. Have I honestly considered the warning signs? I did. I just didn't do anything about it. But I did. I honestly considered the warning signs. Especially when 2 inches before me is a spinning blade, and I still did it. Proverbs 10 and 17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who forsakes reproof goes astray. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. If I leave it up to myself. Considerations. Don't think that you are the exception to the rule. Maybe. I thought I was the exception to the rule. I'm a pretty careful guy. Used to be a living for me professionally, safety and health. Probably not going to happen to me. Can't say that anymore. It kind of disappoints me and bums me out. Because I can't be that person that says after so many years of woodworking, I've never had a serious injury. I don't get to say that anymore. Point number eight. Have I considered the possible outcomes for my course of action? Proverbs 41 and 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Proverbs 14 and 15. The native believes everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. Proverbs 27 and 12. A prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the naive proceed and pay the penalty. Considerations. On this one, with this point, do the long math. Don't take the shortcut. Do the long math. Point number nine. could this decision jeopardize, and I added a lot here, could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my relationship with my God? That's a serious question. That's a serious consideration. If what you are fixing to do leads to a yes answer to that question, then you need to go back to the other considerations and think about them carefully. Let me read that again. Could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness or my relationship with the Lord? Proverbs 25 and 26. Like a trampled spring in a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. Proverbs 10 and verse 9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who prevents his ways or perverts his ways will be found out. Consideration. Work towards the center. Don't live on the edges. Work towards that center where you have safety. Ask yourself, ultimately, would this pass the red face test? Or some of you may hear it as, would this pass the newspaper test? The decision that I'm fixing to make. If I make that decision and it goes wrong, will it pass the red face test? Lastly, point number 10. Is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact on God's kingdom? How often do you infuse that question into the decision making that you do? Or me, how often do I infuse that question? Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Consideration, ask yourself, what story could God be writing for me? And don't always assume that just because something is hard, that it is not God's will. I don't know what this means, but maybe it means something for me that God has given me. I'm blessed, I'm fortunate that it wasn't worse. So I'm going to trust in my Lord that that means something to me. When I make other decisions that don't have anything to do with power tools, but have everything to do with my soul, then I am going to trust in the Lord. You make decisions every day. From the minute that you get up. Your first choice, do I hit the snooze bar or go back to sleep? Probably the first decision that you make. And through that day, you will make 100, 1,000 decisions. How many of those decisions have an impact on your soul? How do you step through making those decisions? Consider that carefully. Tonight, you may be here with us, where you have contemplated, where you have considered, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Think about that carefully. Make the decision, but step through it logically and biblically. If you are here tonight and you need the help of those who are before you, your brothers, your sisters, those who are here, if you are here tonight and you know that you need to be saved, we ask that you please stand. We ask that you come forward as we sing this song.